previously on Red Pilled America.
What Milo uncovered was a smoking gun.
Gamergate is essentially about corrupt journalism.
Feminism went slightly out of control.
Gamers do not hate women.
Gamergate won, and it has ignited so many fires in so many places with so many unexpected consequences.
I retweet. You know, I retweet for a reason, right?
Another day, another Twitter tirade from Donald Trump.
And the media did everything they could to keep control of the narrative.
I think that maybe I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Twitter.
I believe without the Comey letter, I would have won. I think Rudy Giuliani played a role.
We need people to actually enforce their own terms of service and shut down bad actors.
Twitter should have kicked Donald Trump off Twitter a long time ago.
I'm Patrick Carelci.
And I'm Adriana Cortez.
And this is Red Pilled America, a storytelling show.
This is not another talk show covering the day's news. We are all about telling stories.
Stories Hollywood doesn't want you to hear.
Stories the media mocks. Stories about everyday Americans that the globalists ignore.
You could think of Red Pilled America as audio documentaries, and we promise only one thing. The truth.
Welcome to Red Pilled America.
We're at part 4 of our series of episodes entitled Unfiltered. You've probably heard part 1 through 3, but if you haven't, stop and go back and listen from the beginning. We're looking for the answer to the question, why is the media afraid of free speech? By telling the story of Twitter and how it drifted away from being the free speech platform.
So in part 3, we told the story of how Milo Yiannopoulos rose to prominence through Gamergate, a controversy that gained steam on Twitter and pit gamers against the video game media that had been infected by wokeness. Milo found the smoking gun that proved the central argument of the Gamergate movement, that joystick journalism was corrupt. He uncovered a secret group of gaming media that colluded to build a consensus on stories involving two feminists that had infiltrated the gaming industry, those women being Anita Sarkeesian and Zoe Quinn. The journalists worked to censor and attack gamers while propping up the feminists on their media platforms, and Milo found the emails proving it all. His discovery made him a hot commodity on the topic, first on public radio, then in independent media. Milo saw Gamergate as a pivotal moment in the culture war. It was a remarkable time where a group finally pushed back against the woke army, and won. And they did it all using Twitter. The affair provided a template for how to beat the cultural Marxists, and it was a lesson that Donald Trump would use in his 2016 run for the White House.
When he entered the race, Trump was no novice on Twitter. He'd been using the platform effectively years before his presidential run. At every turn, he used Jack Dorsey's creation to bypass the media and get his message to the public. As Election Day 2016 approached, Twitter played a central role in the outcome. First, WikiLeaks used the platform to promote emails that were allegedly hacked from Hillary Clinton's top aide, John Podesta. Then, less than 2 weeks before voting day, FBI Director James Comey announced he was reopening an investigation into Hillary's use of a private server when she was Secretary of State. The case was reopened because of a chain of events that could be traced back to a scandal known as Wienergate, where Andrew Breitbart and his rebel journalists took down Democrat Congressman Anthony Weiner using Twitter. Director Comey would ultimately exonerate Hillary before Election Day, but the news halted her momentum. In the end, Hillary effectively blamed three key elements for her loss: John Podesta's hacked emails, the FBI investigation stemming from a Twitter controversy, and oddly, Rudy Giuliani. While Trump was in the process of this historic 2016 win, Twitter was undergoing a radical change. The CEO that dubbed Twitter as the free speech platform was ousted and replaced by Jack Dorsey. Twitter also created a trust and safety council whose mission was to ensure people could, quote, continue to express themselves freely and safely on Twitter. And they named Anita Sarkeesian, the central figure of Gamergate, to this new censorship council. Milo was eventually banned from the site. And when Donald Trump took the White House just a few months later, the media began to apply pressure to Jack Dorsey to deal with their Trump problem, so that 2016 could never happen again.
It was a Friday night in early October 2020, and history was on the verge of repeating itself. Miranda Devine, an Australian columnist from the New York Post, was at home winding down her week when her cell phone buzzed.
And I got a text message from Bob Costello, who is Rudy Giuliani's lawyer.
At the time, Rudy Giuliani was working as President Donald Trump's lawyer. So getting a message from Costello just 3 weeks before Election Day 2020 was a big deal. Bob's text included several pictures of someone that looked familiar. Miranda thumbed through them, and as her eyes adjusted to one picture, she noticed what looked like a fresh tattoo of claw marks. It was bizarre. She looked at another photo, and as the image came into focus, Miranda recognized the person.
It was Hunter Biden, you know, sleeping with a crack pipe in his mouth.
Holy sh! She quickly thumbed to the text portion of Bob Costello's message.
He just said, you know, we've got something that we think that you will be interested in. Do you want to talk? And I was like, are you kidding? Yes.
Apparently, Bob Costello and Rudy Giuliani had gotten their hands on the contents of a laptop, or what Miranda Devine would call later, the laptop from hell, the title of her book about breaking the biggest story of the 2020 election. Computers are rarely the central character of a history-altering event, but this was no typical computer. The tale behind its relevance goes a long way into explaining why the media is so afraid of free speech. The laptop made its first public appearance on an early Friday evening in mid-April 2019. John Paul McIsaac was getting ready to close his Wilmington, Delaware, Apple computer repair shop when a man walked in. He was carrying a trio of Apple laptops.
All three were suffering from liquid damage.
That's John Paul McIsaac in a March 2022 interview with the Friends of Zeus.
One was a write-off. I couldn't do anything with it. The other one just had a faulty keyboard, so I gave him a keyboard so he could get around his password and then recover his own data. The third unit did require a check-in.
A check-in, meaning that John Paul would have to take possession of the laptop for a few days to recover its data. Like any other time when you have to leave property behind to be repaired, think auto mechanic, John Paul needed the customer's name to fill out the necessary paperwork. It's a pretty standard process. But in this instance, when John Paul asked for the customer's name, the customer seemed a bit annoyed by the question.
Hunter Biden,
he responded. That name meant something to John Paul. Most locals wouldn't have needed to ask. The Bidens are legendary in the area, but John Paul isn't your normal Delawarean. He is an albino, which severely impairs his vision. Basically, he's legally blind, but he can see things that are about 6 to 8 inches away from his face. So as he sat there facing the customer, he couldn't see him clearly. However, when he looked at the laptop that was being checked in, John Paul got a second confirmation.
The third unit had a Beau Biden Foundation sticker.
Joe Biden's son, Beau Biden, passed away tragically a few years earlier from brain cancer.
I assumed that it was his dead brother's computer and he just wanted his memories off of it. So I kind of felt bad for the guy because he was wasted.
At the time in April 2019, Hunter's father was just the former vice president. He held no public office.
His dad hadn't announced his candidacy yet. So this was just some drunk guy with porn and a bunch of crap on his computer.
So John Paul decided to take on the job at a reduced price. He quoted him $85 to recover the data. It worked for Hunter, and he checked in the laptop.
He agreed to the terms and conditions and signed the authorization and then went away.
Now, the data recovery process can at times be a bit meticulous. A technician has to carefully transfer files off of the damaged computer onto another hard drive. It's a process that sometimes forces the technician to get intimate with the files. And it was on this close review that gave John Paul his third confirmation on the laptop's owner.
Within 30 minutes of performing the data transfer, I had been able to verify that the person that was in the shop was indeed the person that was on the computer.
He saw driver's licenses, pictures, documents. By the time John Paul Mack finished the process, he concluded with 100% certainty that the man that checked in the computer was in fact Hunter Biden.
I recovered the data. In the process of verifying the data, that's when I was made aware of a lot of his hobbies.
It was the kind of personal material you wouldn't want a stranger to see. films of sex acts, nude selfies, drug use, and the kind of documents that could get you in real hot water.
And then ended up also seeing some other financial documents that just kind of like, oh, this is a lot of money. This thing's just a big hot mess. So I was nervous, but his dad hadn't announced his candidacy yet. So this was just some drunk guy with porn and a bunch of crap on his computer.
So John Paul didn't think much about what he'd seen on the laptop. He just did his job and focused on saving the files.
It took several attempts because it was a power issue and it kept going down. Once I got all this data combined, I saved it, and then I was able to clone that to an external drive, and then from that, I made my clone.
When he was done, John Paul says he gave Hunter a call and asked him to drop off a portable hard drive so that he could put all of the laptop files on that.
He came back in, dropped off the drive, called him up on a Monday, sent him a Square secure payment request for the $85.
But Hunter didn't respond. John Paul called him again over the coming days, then weeks. Still no response.
And this is when things started to get a little precarious for the Apple repairman. You see, shortly after John Paul successfully recovered the data, Hunter's father made an announcement.
Former Vice President Joe Biden is officially throwing his hat into the ring for the race for president.
Joe Biden just released that video announcing his 2020 bid on his social media accounts. He is framing his campaign as a battle for the soul of the country, a message that he's really carried over the past year.
John Paul McIsaac didn't fully grasp the magnitude of the moment, but he did sense that he could be in for some serious trouble. Welcome back to Red Pilled America. So in April 2019, Hunter Biden entered John Paul McIsaac's Apple repair shop and checked in a laptop to be repaired. In the process of recovering the data, John Paul saw some pretty personal files. Films of sex acts, nude selfies, drug use, and even some eye-popping financial documents. He eventually was able to recover the data, but when he reached out to Hunter to pay for and pick up the laptop, Hunter didn't respond. If it were any other customer, it would have been no big deal. But as the laptop sat in the Apple repair shop waiting to be retrieved, Joe Biden announced his 2020 run for the White House. John Paul didn't fully grasp the magnitude of the moment, but he did sense that he could be in for some serious trouble. Within a few weeks of Joe Biden's announcement, a controversial story reemerged in the mainstream media.
Mr. Vice President, Tom Yamas with ABC News. How you doing? Got a quick question for you.
It's a question we tried to ask repeatedly.
Can we ask you about Ukraine and China?
But kept getting blocked.
At issue, was Hunter Biden profiting off his dad's work as vice president, and did Joe Biden allow it? We're talking about millions of dollars in at least two countries.
The story was not a new one. It dated back to 2014. When the Eastern European country of Ukraine erupted into civil unrest.
Ukraine is in a state of crisis, 2 days after the country's democratically elected president was ousted following months of street protests that left at least 82 people dead.
The unrest would come to be known as the Maidan Uprising. The Ukrainian government is famously corrupt, but in 2014, the situation apparently reached a tipping point, and the media consensus was that the Ukrainians had had enough.
On Saturday, Ukraine's parliament voted to remove President Viktor Yanukovych.
Joe Biden was vice president at the time and was tasked with overseeing U.S. aid to Ukraine. He made a trip to the area to speak to officials of the newly formed government.
The opportunity to generate a united Ukraine, getting it right, is within your grasp. And we want to be your partner, your friend in the project. We want to, and we're ready to assist. We can help in stabilizing and strengthening Ukraine's economy by helping you withstand the unfair economic pressure being thrust upon you. We stand ready to do that, and I say the American people stand ready. And this is a delicate thing to say to a group of leaders in their House of Parliament, but you have to fight the cancer of corruption that is endemic in your system right now.
It was a laudable message, but almost immediately, his words rang hollow. Just a few weeks later, a local energy company made an announcement that even made the mainstream media raise an eyebrow. Burisma, Ukraine's largest private oil and gas holding company, announced the addition of Hunter Biden to their board of directors. Hunter was going to be in charge of the company's legal unit. To Washington, D.C. insiders, it was a stunning development. Hunter had no experience in the energy sector. And just a few months earlier, Hunter had been discharged from the Navy for testing positive for cocaine. But that wasn't the half of it. Burisma was owned by Mykola Slojevsky, Ukraine's former Minister of Ecology and Natural Resources. Slojevsky had been under investigation for years by Ukraine's Prosecutor General for alleged money laundering, tax evasion, and corruption during his 2010 to 2012 tenure. After corruption became the focal point of the Ukrainian Revolution, Slojevsky's Burisma was sure to be in legal jeopardy again. So, Hunter Biden heading their legal unit at the precise time his father became the point man for the corrupt country, this setup was too much for even the mainstream media to overlook. The Washington Post, ABC News, The Guardian, USA Today, The Wall Street Journal, CNBC, Yahoo News, Politico, NBC News, and the BBC, among others, all ran with stories on the unseemly situation. In a May 2014 briefing, Obama's press secretary was even questioned on the development.
On another subject, Hunter Biden has now taken a position with the largest oil and gas company, holding company in Ukraine. Is there any concern about at least the appearance of a conflict there? See the vice president.
I would refer you to the vice president's office. I saw those reports. You know, Hunter Biden and other members of the Biden family are obviously private citizens, and where they work is not does not reflect an endorsement by the administration or by the vice president or president. But I would refer you to the vice president's office.
By the end of the year, the owner of Burisma reportedly fled the country. After his escape, Ukrainian prosecutors instituted criminal proceedings against Slojevsky on suspicion of illegal enrichment and money laundering of criminally obtained funds. In 2015, a new Ukrainian prosecutor general was appointed. His name was Viktor Shokin. Political news outlet The Hill would later report that from 2015 to 2016, while Hunter Biden led Burisma's legal unit, Ukrainian prosecutor Shokin was leading a wide-ranging corruption probe into the company. The whole thing oozed of crookedness.
Once Joe Biden left the White House in 2016, the story of Hunter Biden's Ukrainian employment faded out of the news. That is, until January 2018, when the former VP began publicly reminiscing about being assigned by Obama to oversee financial aid to Ukraine.
But it just happened to be that was the assignment I got. I got all the good ones. So I got Ukraine.
In a stunning moment of candor, Joe Biden began bragging about getting Ukrainian prosecutor Viktor Shokin fired in 2016, the same prosecutor that was investigating Hunter Biden's employer, Burisma.
I remember going over convincing our team, that we should be providing for loan guarantees. And I went over, the 12th, 13th time to Kyiv, and I was supposed to announce that there was another $1 billion loan guarantee. And I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko and from Yatsenyuk that they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't.
Poroshenko was the president of Ukraine at the time. Yatsenyuk was the prime minister.
So they said they were walking out to press conference. We're not going to give you the $1 billion. They said, you have no authority. You're not the president. The president said. I said, call him. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. I think it was, 6 hours? I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Well, son of a bitch. Got fired. And they put in place someone who was solid.
The shocking admission may have withered away into the dustbin of history. But that all changed in April 2019, when Joe Biden announced his campaign for the White House. Within weeks of his announcement, President Trump's lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, hit the media, pushing for an investigation into the Biden family's corrupt business dealings in Ukraine.
I found out
this incredible story about Joe Biden.
The president's personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, claims without proof that Joe Biden tried to bribe the Ukrainian government to get his son out of legal trouble.
It looked bad, and the media knew it. They'd covered the whole ugly affair when it first broke. But now that Joe Biden was a potential Democrat frontrunner, the media went into protect mode. It needed to change the narrative, so they rolled out Congressman Adam Schiff to reframe the issue.
There's no public evidence that the vice president, former vice president, took any inappropriate action to help his son. But was it right for Hunter Biden to take a job like that in Ukraine while his father was engaged in diplomacy there?
I don't know the circumstances in which he took the job, but I can say this vis-a-vis Joe Biden. There's no evidence, nor has there ever been any evidence, that he was doing anything but trying to get the Ukraine government to crack down on corruption. We're providing generous support to Ukraine. We're providing defensive weapons to Ukraine. We want Ukraine to be successful in its conflict with Russia. But part of that is having a government that the people of Ukraine are willing to fight for and protect. And they've had an endemic corruption problem. That's what Joe Biden was trying to address. So going after his son is just a method of going after someone the president believes is his most formidable opponent. So, yes, let the president go after him. But don't seek the help of a foreign government in your election.
The media's narrative machine was cranking. By the summer of 2019, Hunter Biden began his mea culpa tour.
The troubling portrait of Joe Biden's younger son, Hunter Biden, opening up to The New Yorker magazine about his foreign business dealings and his tumultuous personal life, including struggles with addiction. All of it likely fodder for attacks in his father's battle for the White House.
He shares multiple harrowing experiences, from trying to smoke crack by stuffing it into a cigarette, to getting discharged from the Naval Reserves after testing positive for cocaine, to having a gun pointed at his head while trying to buy drugs in a homeless encampment. And he says he relapsed after the 2015 death of his older brother, Beau. Soon after, he also struck up a brief romantic relationship with Beau's widow. And then there's the matter of Hunter Biden's business dealings. Questions about whether he'd leverage his father's name to win business in Ukraine and China, where Hunter accompanied his father on an official trip in 2013. President Trump is calling for an investigation.
100%. It's a disgrace.
There has been no evidence Joe Biden used his influence to help his son. Hunter says he and his dad only spoke once about Ukraine. Dad said, "I hope you know what you're doing." And I said, "I do."
The media machine was doing its thing, getting the dirt out early on the Democrat frontrunner and distancing him from his troubled son. It was a tough needle to thread, but the media was about to pull out one of its boldest jiu-jitsu moves of all time. In mid-September 2019, news began to swirl about a July 2019 call between President Trump and Ukraine's new president, Volodymyr Zelensky.
New developments now in a story with many twists and turns, and it started with a whistleblower's complaint about President Trump's contact with a foreign leader. We now know Ukraine was involved.
It doesn't matter what I discuss.
President Trump says he did nothing wrong during a phone call with the president of Ukraine.
But I can say that it was a totally appropriate conversation. It was actually a beautiful conversation.
Reports claimed that President Trump pressured the Ukrainian president into investigating his political rival.
CBS News has learned the president's dealings with Ukraine are part of a federal whistleblower complaint the Intelligence Community Inspector General determined to be an urgent concern. The exact allegation is unknown because the administration is refusing to turn the complaint over to Congress.
In reality, the Justice Department had reviewed the complaint and then Attorney General Barr unequivocally ruled out the possibility of criminal conduct on the part of the president. Therefore, the complaint was not passed on to Congress.
It's a partisan whistleblower.
We do know the two leaders talked on July 25th, about 2 weeks before the complaint was filed. The Ukrainian government says they discussed completing investigation of corruption cases. The Wall Street Journal reports during the call, Mr. Trump pressured the Ukrainian president 8 times to investigate former Vice President Joe Biden's son, Hunter. Hunter Biden worked for a Ukrainian gas company during the Obama administration.
The media claimed that President Trump withheld financial aid and during a phone call pressured the Ukrainian president to take action that benefited Trump personally. It was a stunning claim given the context. Biden publicly admitted to withholding $1 billion in loan guarantees to pressure Ukraine into firing a prosecutor, a prosecutor that claimed he was investigating Hunter Biden's employer. After Biden's pressure, Ukraine in fact fired the prosecutor. Biden bragged about it. The whole affair reeked of corruption. But when Trump asked the president of Ukraine to look into this potential corruption, the media branded Trump the criminal. Trump was being accused of the exact same thing that Joe Biden provably did. As the media's narrative about Trump began to form, Trump hit back.
This is a very dishonest thing that Joe Biden did. And then he said he never spoke to his son. Does anybody believe that one? But what he said is that he wouldn't give, I think it was billions of dollars to Ukraine, unless they fired the prosecutor who was looking at his son and his son's company, the company that his son worked with. And that's a very dishonest thing. And I'm not looking to hurt Biden. I'm not even looking to hold him to it, to be honest. But he said a very bad thing. Now me, on the other hand, my conversation with the president, the new president of Ukraine, was perfect. They put out a statement last night. They said the same thing. It was a warm, friendly conversation. There was no quid pro quo. There was nothing. It was a perfect conversation.
To put the controversy to rest, the president announced he was releasing the transcript of the call.
President Trump just tweeted that he is going to authorize the release of the transcript of his conversation with the president of the Ukraine that's at the center of this burgeoning scandal that now has Democrats talking about the possibility of impeaching the president. And the question here at the heart of all of this is, did the president threaten to withhold military aid from the Ukrainian government in exchange for an investigation by the Ukrainians into Joe Biden and his son? The idea that he's releasing this transcript tomorrow is interesting here, Melissa, because Nancy Pelosi's staff has said she's going to make an announcement in the wake of their impeachment meeting on Capitol Hill at 5 p.m. today. So she's going to make that announcement possibly without having seen this full transcript.
Before the transcript could even be released to the public, Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi made that announcement.
And this week, the president has admitted to asking the president of Ukraine to take actions which would benefit him politically. The actions of the Trump presidency revealed the dishonorable fact of the president's betrayal of his oath of office. Therefore, today, I'm announcing the House of Representatives moving forward with an official impeachment inquiry. The president must be held accountable. No one is above the law.
When the transcript of the Ukraine phone call was released the following day, at no time did the president link U.S. aid to a corruption investigation of Biden. To drive home this point, President Trump welcomed Ukrainian President Zelensky to the White House on the same day the phone call transcript was released, and the press grilled the Ukrainian president on the subject.
President Zelensky, have you felt any pressure from President Trump to investigate Joe Biden and Hunter Biden?
I think you read everything. I'm sorry, but I don't want to be involved in elections of USA. No, you heard that we had, I think, good phone call. It was normal. We spoke about many things. And I think, and you read it, that nobody pushed me. Yes.
In other words, no pressure. You know there was no pressure. All you have to do is see it, what went on the call. But you know that. But you could ask the question, and I appreciate the answer.
Go ahead. Mr. President, would you like President Zelensky to do more on Joe Biden and the investigation?
No, I want him to do whatever he can. This was not his fault. He wasn't there. He's just been here recently. But whatever he can do in terms of corruption, because the corruption's massive. Now, when Biden's son walks away with millions of dollars from Ukraine and he knows nothing, and they're paying him millions of dollars, that's corruption.
In the weeks that followed, Trump went on offense against the Bidens.
By the way, whatever happened to Hunter? Where the hell is he?
Hunter Biden, the son of former Vice President Joe Biden, has found himself at the center of a political firestorm.
Where's Hunter?
Biden and his son are stone cold crooked.
The president has been on the rampage, accusing 49-year-old Biden of improperly profiting on business interests in Ukraine while his father was vice president and the point person on Ukraine, taking a seat on the board at $50,000 a month with a gas company called Burisma, which had been accused of corruption, leading to that now infamous phone call in July.
The Bidens were feeling the heat. So in mid-October 2019, they offered up Hunter Biden for an exclusive interview with ABC News.
Did you and your father ever discuss Ukraine?
No. As I said, the only time was after a news account, and it wasn't a discussion in any way. There's no but to this. No, we never did.
Your dad said, I hope you know what you're doing.
I hope you know what you're doing.
I do.
And I said, I do. And that was literally the end of our discussion.
Do you regret being on the board to begin with?
No, I don't regret being on the board. What I regret is not taking into account that there would be a Rudy Giuliani and a president of the United States that would be listening to this ridiculous conspiracy idea, which has, again, been completely debunked by everyone.
And Hunter Biden reiterated time and time again that he did not ever discuss in any detail whatsoever any of his business dealings in Ukraine and China with his father, period. That he wanted that to be crystal clear.
Welcome back to Red Pilled America. As the impeachment inquiry began to completely monopolize the news cycle, an Apple computer repairman from Joe Biden's hometown began to get nervous.
I'm starting to get concerned that there's going to be a Secret Service guy that's going to come into the shop, because for all I know, Hunter was still in possession of a document that said I was allowed to look on his hard drive.
You see, by late September 2019, Hunter Biden still hadn't returned to John Paul McIsaac's shop to pick up his laptop. The computer had been sitting there for over 150 days, and that was significant because per the check-in agreement that Hunter apparently signed, if a customer didn't pay for his services within 90 days, ownership of the property transfers to John Paul's repair shop. In other words, Hunter Biden's laptop was now the property of John Paul McIsaac, and that scared the repairman.
For all I know, Hunter was still in possession of a document that said I was allowed to look on his hard drive. So somebody saw that document, I was in trouble because they would know that I had witnessed the data.
And he was scared because the data potentially contradicted Hunter Biden's public statements about his father's knowledge of his Burisma dealings.
I was starting to get more and more concerned that there might be criminal activity that's relevant to an existing case. So I ended up reaching out to my father and said, hey, look, can you help me out?
His father was a retired Air Force colonel. John Paul wanted to enlist his father's help because he could lend gravitas to the story of how the laptop got into his possession. He also didn't trust the FBI enough to walk into their local Wilmington, Delaware office. So he asked his dad to reach out to the FBI office in Albuquerque, New Mexico to let them know what he had.
I just want it out of my shop and I want some level of protection. Should somebody come looking for me, at least this is on the record, this is on the books.
His dad agreed to do it. John Paul made a copy of the laptop hard drive and sent it to his dad, and his father then marched it over to the FBI's Albuquerque branch.
Well, the FBI initially kicked him out, told him to lawyer up and don't come back. They refused to take a copy of the drive.
As the impeachment inquiry progressed in October 2019, John Paul became more and more concerned the scandal would land on his front door. He could see that data on the laptop contradicted Hunter Biden's claims.
But I can definitely see a private Ukrainian citizen asking for somebody's dad to step in to put pressure on the Ukrainian government so that they don't have to give back that $5.5 billion that they took. I was getting more and more concerned that the reason for Zelensky's phone call was justified because of what I had seen.
Just as he started to lose hope in the FBI, John Paul said an FBI agent named Joshua called his father on November 1st, 2019. John Paul asked his father to pass along his number to the agent. They spoke and then scheduled a time to meet around the end of November 2019.
Two agents showed up to my house, Joshua and Agent Mike, and we sat down. First thing they asked me was if I had seen any child pornography.
There was porn on the laptop, but John Paul said he didn't know the age or identity of the participants. He was more concerned with Ukraine data.
So they never brought up money laundering at all, which that seems kind of odd, but they wanted to hear my concerns. I explained to them that there's powers foreign and domestic that are involved. There's a lot of money involved. Somebody someday is going to look for this, and when they find out that at the end of the trail is my name, I want some level of protection.
According to John Paul, the agent said that they couldn't take the laptop at that time. They had to discuss it internally with legal at the FBI. It looked like John Paul was going to be left to his own devices again. But then something happened.
A lot of the Ukraine charges about you have been debunked and were unfair.
On December 8, 2019, Axios aired an interview with Joe Biden where they asked him about his son's involvement with the Ukrainian energy firm Burisma.
There's one thing that a lot of Democrats even do wonder about, and that is Hunter Biden, your son, was getting paid a lot of money to serve on the board of a Ukrainian energy company facing serious corruption charges. You were the vice president running point on Ukraine. The average Joe hears that and says, that sounds fishy. What's your understanding of what your son was doing for an extraordinary amount of money?
I don't know what he was doing. I know he was on the board. I found out he was on the board after he was on the board. And that was it. And there's nobody.
Well, you've had a lot of time. Isn't this something you want to get to the bottom of?
No, because I trust my son.
So you think that everything that happened was kosher?
You know there's not one single bit of evidence, not one little tiny bit, to suggest anything done was wrong. You know that, but you keep asking me these questions.
The next day, the FBI was at John Paul's front door.
And then they eventually came to the shop in December 9th, 2019, to collect the laptop and the drive and any related paperwork.
He felt relieved. John Paul finally had the laptop in the hands of the authorities. His life could now get back to normal. But then, as the agents were leaving, one of them turned around and said something that spooked John Paul. The agent claimed that, in their experience, nothing happens to those that don't talk. Next time on Red Pilled America.
President Trump remains a clear and present danger to our national security.
Donald John Trump be, and he is hereby, acquitted of the charges in said articles.
Now I know I'm in trouble because the FBI knows that I had this. And if the FBI is protecting the Bidens, then who's to say somebody's going to say, hey, Joe, there's this kid that's trying to get rid of your son's dirty laundry.
The first story we ran was this email from Hunter Biden's Ukrainian paymaster. And in this email, he thanks Hunter for the meeting with his father in Washington, D.C.
Hunter Biden's laptop, that whole thing has been fizzling. It looks like it's tied to Vladimir Putin in Moscow.
And Twitter is actively blocking right now this instant stories from the New York Post.
We were called here today because of an enforcement decision we made against the New York Post based on a policy we created in 2018 to prevent Twitter from being used to spread hacked materials.
We knew that he knew who we were and that he liked our content. You know, he had tweeted at one point, he said the Babylon Bee is savage.
Why does a free speech Twitter scare the media?
Red Pilled America is an iHeartRadio original podcast. It's produced by me, Adriana Cortez, and Patrick Carelci for Informed Ventures. Thanks for listening.